You're listening to Conversations That Matter with your host, Terry Conrad.
Hi, everybody. This is Terry Conrad, and I'm about to have a conversation that matters with a young rock star, Alyssa Hellman, who I have met through Inman Connect, who is uber connected herself and is a licensed realtor and also one of, like, if not the youngest office managers. I think you have, like, a reputation for being the youngest manager in an office at Long & Foster in D.C., right?
Yes. That is right.
That is right. I am that amazing. So welcome to the show. I hate to even call it a show because, let's be honest, these are really about intimate conversations and about diving in with people on purpose like yourself, who I think are really real and cutting through the crap and having the balls to say what they really want to say, which sort of brings me to why I'm wearing this lovely attire today. So let's just go there really fast. So I'm wearing a t-shirt, and I don't know if you can see that. I kind of don't want to throw my boobs in the show, but there you go. So I kick ass, except when, or you can call me, what does it say? I don't always kick ass, but when I do, you can call me. And oh, hold on, time out. Look, can you see? What does it say?
T-Rod, who am I kidding? I always kick ass.
So that is a gift from the amazing Melissa and Chad Grass, Happy Grasshopper and Dot Loop, just in case people aren't familiar with Melissa Case and Chad Humphrey. And that arrived in the mail yesterday. And so, of course, I put that up on a little thread this morning. And next thing you know, Melissa's like, well, I hope you're going to be wearing that on our interview. So there you go. That explains why I'm wearing a t-shirt that says ass.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
You can't really see it in the shot, so you're good.
We're good. Okay, good. So back to you and things that actually matter.
Yeah.
You and I have had a couple of really good conversations on the heels of Inman Connect. We were both just down in San Francisco. And you were up on at least one panel. I think there was a few. How many times were you sitting up on that stage?
One that I had planned on, and then the other I just kind of got on stage.
So here's the thing about you that people just love listening to you talk. And I think that the reason that is because, like I said earlier, you really cut through the crap. You aren't afraid to say what you really think. It's not that you're being irreverent or trying to stir the pot. You just really are very open and I think very comfortable in your own skin, and you just know what you think. And I think it's really refreshing in this space. I think most people really appreciate that. And then you wrote an article post-Connect that referenced a conversation that matters with Michael Thorne. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that article, what resonated for you, and why we kind of entered into this conversation?
Sure. So I think, like, my biggest takeaway from Connect was there's all these things that in real estate and frankly in life that we are told we should be saying, and these things we should be doing, and there's, like, this next natural step that we're supposed to follow. And what ends up happening is when you follow all of that, sometimes you lose yourself in it and you lose your own voice. And I was in the process after Connect and sort of at Connect, but mostly after Connect, of redesigning my website. And I was reading through it, and it was one of those things where it just, while what was on my website mattered, a lot of it to me sounded like industry jargon. And I hate that. And I would hate that if I was a consumer coming to my website, because I would be like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
And that's been something that kind of in my personal and in my career, I've always prided myself on really cutting through the crap and telling it to my clients and my friends and my family straight. And so it bothered me that that's how it read, because I thought to myself, that isn't very me.
Right.
And I kind of rest my belief in, while you can get clients any which way and there's a million different ways to do it, I think that people choose to work with you because they like you.
Right.
I mean, we all get basically the same training to do what we do. And so people work with me because they like who I am. And so I wanted to let that really shine through. So I basically kind of cut the crap and just wrote what I thought and what I believe and what I really love and am passionate about. And to me, that was so important because I feel like now you go to my website and you really get to know me. And I think that that's important for consumers to see.
Completely agree. And it's something, honestly, that I think a lot of agents really struggle with. I think there's a lot of agents that want to be sort of more themselves, but we've been sold this bill of goods, which is, you know, you have to be very professional and you have to look a certain way. And there's sort of a formula on how it's done. And everyone sort of ends up looking very vanilla, very the same. Save a few great examples that we could rattle off that, you know, inspire us. And I think that's kind of part of it. I mean, we reference, or I reference Simon Sinek all of the time, Start With Why, but not even just the Start With Why aspect, but he always talks about, you know, come from a place of what you believe and what you stand for. That's the sort of thing that really touches people and inspires people. And this conversation's sort of timely because there's been some big news in the industry this week. And I know. I would love to go around it, and we don't have to spend a lot of time here, but I think we sort of have to at least address it.
It's okay. There's no way of avoiding it.
There is really no way. So Zillow is positioned to purchase Trulia for $3.5 billion, mostly stock options, it sounds like. What's your take?
You're lucky I love you,
too. I know.
I guess my take really is that I feel like yesterday when this news got announced, it was all over my news feed. And I, at all costs, tried to avoid it. And then around 5 p.m., I was like, I can't. So I remember I even posted, all right, I'll feed the monster. Because there was this huge outcry from people of like, the sky is falling. How am I ever going to do business again? And we're doing something within my office where we're trying to learn where our agents are getting their clients from, because that's where we want to help them invest their money. Good. And so when we do that, what we've learned, kind of not shocking to me, but what we've learned is that something like 77% of the deals that our agents are doing are coming from some level of referrals. So a family member, a friend, whatever it may be. And so certainly these sites, you know, offer the consumer the ability to search and whatever it may be. But I guess my thing is, if as agents we're confident enough in our service and our value and what we bring to the table, like, own that and be comfortable in that, and don't worry about that smiling face that's sitting in the margin next to the listing. Because if a client really is going to go after that, they're misguided to begin with. If you were to ask me, unfortunately you did.
I did ask, and so there you go. The reason I ask is because, of course, I definitely agree with you. I've been saying this since the very first time I ever got up on a stage and we talked about this, which is, you know, the pie is not only so big. And it's like Guy Kawasaki said at Connect, it's like, you know, be the baker. Instead of worrying about what you're not getting over here, go and bake new business over here. And I absolutely love that philosophy. And I love that you at such a young age have already completely embraced things that many of us at my age still really struggle to grasp. And to be perfectly frank, I feel like it positions everyone to just focus on what matters in their business, which is, what can I actually affect? And instead of worrying about the things that I cannot control, we sort of just release those things and focus on the things that in fact we can. So when an agent of yours comes to you and is all worried about, you know, missing out on business, you know, what is your answer to him?
I mean, like, my thing is that it all roots back to this basic belief in, probably in all industries, but definitely in real estate, of like, just say no sometimes. And it's okay to say no. And I feel like it's like beaten into us. Well, not beaten, but beaten into us that we need to go after every single deal. And when you do that, you forget what you're doing. You forget that you're dealing with people in their lives, and you start thinking of it more as a transaction and a deal and chasing the next deal. And I hate that. I mean, my thing is, it's like, this is a people business. It always has been. It's always going to be. And if you focus less on what might happen down the road and less on, you know, chasing the next deal, you can focus and do some really great things for the clients that you already have.
Couldn't agree more. And I preach this all the time about creating that sort of foundational base because if you aren't sure about who your client even is, and you're not sure about the sort of value that you deliver, which is, I think, the fear, and that's a conversation we can have too, because I know that we've both sort of identified that that's the basis of this problem, which is we're just afraid. But if you haven't sort of figured out, you know, what it is that you want to do, what you bring to the table outside of the data, outside of the two bedroom, you know, three bath or three bedroom, two bath, you know, and I know that's a conversation you've had many times. Like, so walk me through, you get a brand new agent in your office and, you know, they've invested a lot into this business and they want to be successful and they really have next to no idea how to approach it. They're looking to you as a company to guide them and help them build their careers. You know, where do you start with those new agents and how do you get them thinking sort of proactively and constructively?
Sure. So I think the biggest thing is it's like, when you're a new agent, I was fortunate enough to come into the business when this was already around. So I don't know a business before Zillow and Trulia.
Right.
I only know it after. So maybe that's why I feel the way that I do. But the reality of it is whether you came in before or after they were around, they're here now and they're probably not going anywhere. So like you need to figure out a way to deal with it and just operate your business on a daily basis without that, mm-hmm. or to incorporate that. So my thing that I always preach to new agents is we will take you through the process of learning kind of the X's and O's that you need to know. So the contract, the best practices for showing property, you know, the best practices for, you know, going through a checklist with a transaction and dealing with clients. But really what I can't teach and what agents inherently kind of have to have is their story. And the way that they are with people. And people kind of dryly refer to this as people skills, but it's really not just people skills. I know some really successful agents that are really bad with most people, but with their people, like if you kind of find your tribe, is how my mom used to refer to it. But if you find your tribe, they will be very loyal to you if you are you.
Great.
And that's really what people, I think that's really what people want, is that kind of authenticity, which gets thrown around way too much. But
agreed,
if you're really talking authenticity and really talking about it as a value add and a deliverable, you know, that's something that not everybody can offer. And that's really how you set yourself apart too.
I love that. You know that I love that. So authenticity is really overused buzzword. There's no question. Authenticity, and there's a few. I had a few on the top of my tongue, but the point is
genuine.
Genuine, all of them. Yes, yeah, yeah. It's a struggle. So there's a guy. I'll give you an example. There's a guy in my market who's a top producer. He ended up becoming co-owner of my old brokerage, and like he does these cheese ball bad coffee flyers to his farmed area. And everyone gets their little coffee coupon in their flyer. And you know what? They love it. And he does killer business. And his tag is can't play golf. So in other words, I can do a hell of a good real estate deal, but I can't play golf. I always loved it. He was a little bit ahead of his time. He has not remotely embraced tech, as far as I know, or certainly not social. And yet he will continue to do his business. Now, Valerie Garcia would kick me in the butt if she heard me say this, because she's like, okay, that's true today. But, you know, cut to 5-10 years, he better start to embrace technology or he will be, struggling to remain relevant, which I agree with. But I'm in terms of talking about, being who you actually are and doing the kind of business that you actually want to do. I just love that you are promoting be true to yourself, tell your story, articulate who you are, and you will attract those types of clients as long as you stay in communication. Yes. Like, how do you advise your agents to do that? How do they foster that?
Kind of really the best way is the way that you are actually going to do it. So I say this, Val might kick me in the butt for this, but this is so true. Like the best systems that people can adopt, they're like, there's no best CRM solution for everyone. Whatever is the best tech or the best system is the one that you're ultimately going to use.
Agreed.
So for some agents, that will be picking up the phone and, you know, calling their sphere on a regular basis. For some, it's going to be, you know, going to PTA meetings and talking with, you know, other moms or at soccer games or whatever it may be. So what I advise my agents to do is continue doing what you were doing. Yeah. You like when you change how you were acting in your everyday life to mold to your business, that's when you come off as this agent that's always selling. Right. And that's why people don't like real estate agents.
Well, and it's back to that sort of that desperation and that fear. So I'm afraid I'm going to lose a deal, or I'm afraid that that client's not going to want to list with me, or whatever it might be. And so there's this sort of desperation and this push. And I think that's why we have sort of that reputation as well. And I think too, when they not just do what you always did, but sort of, you know, embrace what you're passionate about, like what your actual interests are, then you just sort of, and then you connect with those people, and you just sort of let, that's where your tribe sort of develops, don't you think?
Yeah. And I think it's also like getting to know people on a personal level. It also establishes a level of, I guess, being comfortable and a level in your relationship that you couldn't have otherwise. So it's you, while you need to set expectations within that, you know, the people that know me and know my life, you know, they know I have a boyfriend and that we reserve time where we try and spend together. You know, they know that my family's in New York. Yeah, it's allowed. That's my life. Yeah, it's allowed. And agreed. But you know what? Because my Guy Kawasaki said it perfectly. Because my clients do it too. And I would expect them to give me the same consideration that I would give them. And I think that that's something that agents are afraid to say. The agents are afraid to say, you have all these expectations of me. Now here's what I expect from you.
Agreed.
And that's, I mean, like, that's not a, you owe me something. That's how relationships work. Like, if I say something to you, I expect that you will respond. Like, that's how conversations work.
Right.
And so I think that like the agents that aren't doing that and aren't setting not just their expectations of, you know, what the client will expect them to do, but the expectations of what you expect your clients to do and kind of the consideration, you're missing the boat on like a whole other level.
I love it. I love it. So a couple of words that stood out for me. One is relationship, and the idea that you are building a relationship, not a, you know, a sales goal or a transaction, as you had said earlier, which I love that. We are so transactional and thinking only about this deal, this moment versus, you know, long-term, how am I designing my life and my business? And I love how you're saying, so I'm setting my boundaries up front. I'm communicating that effectively with my clients and with my agents. Here's what you can expect from me. And by the way, here's what I'm going to expect from you as part of this deal, which I think, you know, you're right. I think people are so afraid to do that, but it's powerful.
Right. It's actually very powerful. Absolutely. And I think there's something to that. Like, for example, on my website, the advice that I was given of like, just tell your story. And so I did. And the reality of it is my story may dissuade some from wanting to work with me. Like the first words on my website are, I'm not a lifelong local.
Yeah.
Which like, I'm not. I moved here and I loved it and I haven't found a reason to go elsewhere.
Right. But instantly it sort of draws you in because, wow, that's refreshing. Someone's being really honest. And that's like first step towards building a trust and a relationship, which is what we're totally focused on. I love that.
Absolutely. And that, and it's an honest statement. And that's really what I would love to see more in the industry of like, tell your truth. And that doesn't have to be the same thing as my truth, but it's your truth. And there's something refreshing and just real about that, that will allow people to connect with you in a way that if you are not telling your truth right now, you have never seen before.
Which this is where it gets really interesting for me as a coach, because we're dealing with fears, and we're dealing with, particularly with new agents, there's sort of this imposter syndrome that people deal with, right? Like, I'm supposed to be this expert when I have next to no experience. And I think there's, you know, we put on airs and we position ourselves so that you, the client or the customer who we want to be a client, can believe in me and invest in me when I'm not confident myself that I can deliver. And it's this sort of this very crazy space for people. And I think one of the ways that agents can combat that is by aligning themselves, A, with strong brokerages, and having that team support from behind, I think is so key. So key. Well, how do you see that part? Like, I know you've witnessed a lot of this too.
It's not necessarily, I guess strong brokerages is the right word to say, but I would caution any listeners to associate that with big brokerages. Cause I mean, like, I realize this is like the pot calling the kettle black because I'm part of a big brokerage, but I really think that there is a place for small brokerages. So my advice to anybody, or if you're hiring, this would be my advice, or if you're looking, this would be my advice, is align yourself with people who believe in the same things
love
you
it.
Do.
Yes, love it.
And if you do that, you will never be chasing your tail. You will never be trying to figure it out, because when you're surrounding yourself, and there's a difference between that and surrounding yourself with people who are just like you, because that is not the same thing.
Make that distinction for us. So you're saying that's not the same thing. How do you see them as being different?
So aligning yourself with people that believe in the same things that you do and hold the same values and morals, but aren't just like you, are going to be the people that push you to grow and learn and develop. And you will never stop growing and learning, developing with people like that around. People that are just like you are never going to call you on your crap. So frankly, if you ask me, it's the opposite direction, where you can settle in and you're comfortable every day, but you're not ever really growing. You're not pushing yourself to do the next thing that you really should be doing.
Right.
And so I think that that's kind of a, definitely a key distinction of that people should take into account.
I love that. And so then the key thing there would be getting clear first, developing that clarity around what you even stand for. What are your values? What do you believe? And that's, again, that Simon Sinek piece that I always love to talk about, because, and it sounds so, I know sometimes people think this is so airy-fairy, but the truth is I think it's foundational. I absolutely believe it's foundational.
Absolutely. And I think it's almost sad to look around the industry and not see it that way.
Right.
Because when you look at new agents, the first thing that they're coached on 9 times out of 10 is how to get their first deal.
Yes.
And that's literally, like, that's what all the training is all about.
Right.
And if you look at, and I could be wrong, I'm licensed in 3 states, but not everywhere. If you look at pre-licensing training, there's nothing about finding kind of your story. And I realize that that's kind of floozy and however people want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I think is so integral into understanding how you will do business and who you are. Hey, cat.
This is my cat.
Oh. So that's the cat.
Can you time out 1 sec? I'm going to let him out, since it's clearly going to be a pain.
Yeah.
Come on. Go. Go, you. Yeah. So the story behind that cat is that's my son, my 26-year-old son, who moved back home a few years ago, and then the cat stayed. And so he's the one that will be producing this, and he'll get a chuckle out of that, and now he'll have to cut all this out.
Oh, good. I don't remember what I was talking about.
In pre-licensing.
Okay. Where do you want me to restart?
So start with, like, when you go to pre-licensing.
Okay. So when you go to pre-licensing, there's, to me, this issue of, they teach you what to do once you have a deal, but they don't teach you that foundational tell your story so that you can get a deal.
Right.
So really, most new agents are truly imposters.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of experienced agents, frankly, treat them that way.
Right.
Because they know that. They were them at one point. And so it's like, without that training on knowing how to set up your business and knowing like defining the culture of what your business is going to be, mm-hmm. To me, you almost have no business doing a deal.
I love that. I completely love that. But I, of course, feel so bad for newer agents because, like you said, in the pre-licensing, post-licensing part of the deal, they're so head down, and they're consuming a lot of information. Today, I mean, heavens, today they have to learn so much more than even we had to learn when we trained, you know, because now all the new tech and everything else that's come out just changes the game even that much more. So I feel for them. I feel like there's all this stuff to learn. But what I think is missed is there is literally no, here's how you, here, you know, well, you wouldn't expect, let me back up. You wouldn't expect to open any other business. So any turnkey business, you would expect that there would be systems. You would expect that there would be structure. You would expect to invest some dollars, frankly, and time and elbow grease and everything else while you learn not just what the business is, what the product or service is, but also how to run a business.
Yeah, it's like they give you the nuts and bolts, but they don't tell you how to put it together.
Exactly.
So like they teach you how to be an agent, but not how to be an entrepreneur, which really we all are.
Right.
And like as soon as you decide that you are going to sell real estate, you now own a business.
Yeah.
Whether you realized that or not. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is you get these new agents that don't realize that that's what's about to happen.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're dealing with the running of the business part of it. And they're like, I don't like this part.
I know.
And then they drop out of the business.
Totally. And the truth is it's part of our fault as an industry is we don't articulate that very clearly, I don't think.
Right. No, I totally agree.
You know, we could do a better job of saying, you know, by the way, this industry isn't for everybody. But I'm going to get my hand slapped for saying this out loud. But the truth is, you know, that's not what the associations are interested in. They're interested in just getting more bodies, I think.
I'm going to stay silent on that.
Alrighty then. So let's go back to, you did an Inman interview actually, and it was a video interview and it came out on Inman and it was talking a lot more about, you know, your similar philosophies that we just talked about. You mentioned small brokerages, you mentioned some kind of scrappy businesses that are opening. Are there any in particular that inspire you and why would that be?
There's a few that inspire me. That's a really good question. So definitely Zach Shabbat down in North Carolina with Go. I just love what he's doing because it's his entire company is based on a belief that we both share of there's got to be a better way.
I love it.
And like the first time I met Zach, I sat in one of his presentations, I think at a reboot or something like that. And that came across his slide. And I literally took a picture of the slide because I didn't know what else to do. Because it was one of those things where I was like, oh my God, somebody else thinks that. And so it was so cool to me. And I just love what he's doing. And he's really excited and passionate about it. And he's doing a great job down there.
I was just going to say, so I just met him for the first time. And of course, everybody and their dog knows who Zach is. But he was new to me. And I had the luxury of meeting him twice and he forgot both times. So I did get a follow-up. I did get a follow-up video from him down on one knee, a la Guy Kawasaki's Richard Branson style. And he was deeply apologetic for me being so forgettable. So there you go.
No, and I mean, totally, like, that's what's so funny is, like, Zach's hilarious, but it's so authentic, and, like, that's one of the things that I really love about what he does is you can tell that he really loves what he's doing at work, but it doesn't pass anyone that knows Zach by how much he loves and adores his family and how much he takes time for them, and he also did an Inman interview a while back. And it was about unplugging. Mm-hmm. And unplugging, he said to me many times, he takes his family sacrifices a lot so that he can be with his clients. And they give him the time and the flexibility to do a lot of things. So every now and then he asks his clients to sacrifice that and his users on his app to sacrifice that. And then he kind of unplugs and gives his family the time. And that's one of those things that, like, I so wholeheartedly believe in and am trying my best to start doing, is it's one of those things where it's like, that's how you continue to love what you do.
Yes.
By removing yourself from it every now and then. And, you know, just because you love what you do doesn't mean you need to do it 24/7. Because there should be a lot of other things that you love doing too.
Agreed. But as you know, this business can be quite all consuming. Like you said, you know, we're either working in the business or we're working on the business. It's never, and as an entrepreneur, you never quite feel finished. So that can be quite challenging for most people.
Yeah. But I think it's also something where it's like, we need to stop viewing ourselves in like these little tiny boxes of like, I'm an independent contractor. I'm the only one who could ever do what I do.
Right.
No, you're not. Like, at the end of the day, no, you're not. Nobody is. Most of us could probably figure it out. So, like, most brokerages have a managing broker or a manager or even another agent who could step in so that you can unplug.
Yeah.
And when you are honest with your clients and say, look, I've been going nonstop, and this deal, it's almost done. All you've got is, you know, a few last things, and you lay it all out there for them, they ask you to unplug. They want you to get your time for yourself because they know how much you've been devoting to them.
Right.
And so I think that's something that so many agents are afraid to do, but when you do it, you're like, oh, okay, nothing happened. It's all right.
Well, hold on. So you just said that, you know, your client knows how much you've done for them. Then I assume that you've been excellent at communicating to your clients what it is that you, the process. And I don't think that all agents do that well. How do you do that?
I ask them a lot of questions so that I can find out what their chief concerns are. And then I continuously apologize throughout the transaction if I'm repeating myself, but it's, I mean, because I tell them, stop me if you already know this, but if you don't, I feel like it's my responsibility to tell you. And then I'll lay out a slew of facts and stuff that they need to know. And you know what? Sometimes they admit, like, this is a perfect example. And I actually love this story because I just found it out this past week. I had some clients that closed while I was at Inman. And I always remind my clients weeks in advance and then like a week in advance and then the day before settlement, don't forget to switch your utilities. Don't forget to switch your utilities. And I tell them what all the utilities are. Well, commonly condos cover your water. So they had settled. I was in San Francisco. I actually Skyped into their settlement and they got to the house and no water was on. They didn't call me. I had no idea until about 2 days ago when I went by just to drop in and say hello and see how they were doing. And I asked how the move was. And we had spoken in between now and then.
Yeah.
And I said, your water didn't work. Why didn't you call me and tell me? And they said, well, what could you have done in San Francisco that we couldn't have done ourselves?
Yeah.
And they said, and it's not like you didn't remind us to turn on our utilities.
Yeah.
So to me, what that said, and I laughed it off and it was a great thing. But I was like, how great of them to understand that I really have done my due diligence here.
Yep.
And they forgot something. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to crucify them for that. That's, you know, we all make mistakes. It's hard when you're moving.
It is
but
hard.
You forget things. And understanding that had I not gone through the process and told them all the things that I had and all of those things, they probably would have been really pissed off when they showed up and their water wasn't working.
Right.
And it maybe would have been my fault. It maybe wouldn't have been. But my thing is, it's like, yes, I still somewhat take ownership that the water wasn't on. But really, had I been here, had I called them the next day, I couldn't have done anything that they could have done themselves.
That's exactly right.
And that's how you learn to unplug, is you start talking to your clients, which not a lot of people do. You start talking to them besides just the nuts and bolts, and you start talking to them about their lives and your life and what's going on. And then they see you as a person, not a salesman.
Hence the relationship.
That's, you build a relationship.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let me ask you a question. The industry, you know, we particularly, I know you work with a lot of newer buyers. How do you think that we've done in terms of positioning what they should be expecting from their agent? Or and how, like, I mean, I think we would all agree that the average consumer really doesn't know what it is. Like, if they were searching for a new agent, it seems like they're, you know, it's like the one area where the average consumer really seems fairly ignorant about, like, how to find an agent that suits their needs or how to build that relationship or where they should even be looking. I mean, if Zillow really is, which I believe, probably the place where a lot of discovery is being made, you know, certainly in the United States here, it's a little less, of course, if you don't have Zillow, but how do you do that? How do we do that? How do we do it better? What are we doing wrong?
We're not continuing to talk to people that we know. We are working and working and working, and we're doing the job, but we're not doing our career. Right. And like, so we're like clawing and screaming to try and get through the day.
Yes.
And then you get through the day and you still have all these people that you should have talked to because you just didn't.
Right.
And like, it's very easy to not find the time to do something, but it's also very easy to find the time and to connect with people, because when you continue to connect with people, I believe that this whole Zillow Trulia thing doesn't really matter. I've had clients find a property on Zillow and bring it to me. And then we go, and oddly enough, it was a real listing and on the market. But it was, and I think that's the house they bought. I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure that's the house that they bought. But they brought it to me because they understand that my value isn't just helping somebody find a house. It's helping you navigate the process. But as a profession, as an industry, no, I don't think we're doing a great job kind of conveying what somebody should be looking for in an agent. But I think, I don't really know how you tackle that, because I think it looks different for everybody.
Well, I love how you just positioned that, which is it's really our own responsibility to be educating our own people. And if we stay in communication and connection, then that shouldn't really be as big of an issue as it's been.
Right.
And maybe we don't look to the associations and the higher levels for that sort of direction. Maybe that's where we can take some ownership.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you should take some ownership. Like, if you can't tell me why I should work with you, I shouldn't, frankly. Because you need to be able not just to know what your value proposition is, but to be able to convey that to someone who might work with you.
Agreed. Agreed. Difficult to say. Or sorry, difficult to do. Easy to say.
I was like, it was pretty easy to say.
Just slipped right out, actually. Yeah, I got that. So here's the thing. So back quickly before we wrap, all the way back to your original blog post that we touched on where you quoted Michael Thorne, and something in that interview really tweaked you. Can you remember what that was?
I can remember what that was. It was when he talked about his definition of success. Or you actually asked him what his definition of success was. And he told you, I'm sorry if I'm not getting it right. I think he told you the amount of hours in the day that you're happy.
Right.
And I think I was like, hell yeah. Cut that out. I should not have said it that way.
No way, man. That's why we love you, because you are so real.
No, I'm just kidding. You can leave that. Good thing I didn't say what I was actually going to say. But no, it was one of those things where I was listening so intently, and then he said that, and I remember I was driving in my car to a meeting to meet a client, and I literally could not help but smile, because I was like, yes, that's so true. Where it's like, stop defining success with your bank account. Your bank account doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, if you are truly happy in what you do, that's going to shine through in what you do, in your personal life, mm-hmm. with your family. I mean, like, that to me is absolutely success.
Absolutely. So that takes us to the big question that I ask everybody, except for Laura Monroe. I totally forgot to ask her, so I have to go back. But the really big question, and why, honestly, why we're having these conversations, is because I believe that life is bigger than just that moment or that transaction or your career. That, you know, the career is meaningful if you've designed it in a way that makes sense to you and you're living a life that is bringing you some joy. So the question I always want to ask, and the conversation that I find the most interesting, is you know, you're looking back on your life, you know, you've lived a great life and you're looking back. What were the things that were most meaningful to you? What's your legacy going to be?
Ooh. I hope that this answer is the same when I'm not 27. I genuinely say that in all seriousness, that I hope the answer stays the same and I hope I don't lose this. But I guess, like, for my legacy, I don't really want to be who writes it, I guess, is kind of how I've left it. As, like, when I'm not around, I would rather my story be the story that's told by those that I spent time with and that I loved. And I hope it's a good one. But I genuinely believe that the things that I do and the way that I spend my time will allow it to be a good one. And I feel like if you are succeeding and you are leaving a great legacy, if when you are not around, people are saying great things about you. And that's not just a legacy for life. That's a legacy for business. It should be, you should be providing such great service and having such a great relationship with the people that you work with that when you're not around and real estate gets mentioned, your name gets mentioned.
Right.
And you don't even have to know that that happens. I feel like that does happen when I leave my clients.
Right.
And that to me is extremely satisfying. And it's not just satisfying in business. I feel like people probably say positive things about me if I am not around. I sure hope that they do. I don't actually know that. But even if they don't, that's what I'm after. That's what I want people to see. I want people to look back and kind of see the passion in my eyes and my love of what I do and my love of life more so than my love of what I do and want that for themselves.
Well, I can say, honestly, when you came across my radar, I was like, who is this bright, real, amazing young woman who is...
You forgot beautiful.
I skipped that part on purpose. the truth is that you are making a dramatic impact. I think you really are sort of, I think in a way, giving permission to other agents who would love to be more themselves, but are just... you know, not sure how to do that. And I think that you're setting this really fabulous example on how to be super comfortable in your own skin, you know, being brave enough to say what you actually think, being respectful at the same time. It's not like you're out there, you know, really trying to stir the pot. You're just positioning your opinion and saying, well, here's how I see it. And I want you to know that I just deeply respect you. I think the industry is really fortunate to have your voice being heard. I think it's powerful and important, and that's why you're here. I really want to just support you as much as I possibly can.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I come from a family where all four of us marched to the beat of our own drum. So that was kind of ingrained in me at an early age and just something that I've always loved to do. And I feel like, I mean, like, have you ever sat in a restaurant and looked across the restaurant and seen someone and been like, wow, they're having a great time? That is like what I want. Like, I want people to be able to not know me and see me working with clients or see me just out and be like, she really is living a life that she's happy.
Amen.
And I'm all for that.
Me too. Me too. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to get this out. And we will for sure be in touch. Where can people connect with you and see the great work that you're doing?
They can connect with me really any way they'd like. you can go to my website, alyssahellman.com, or they can connect with me on Twitter at @ahellmandc.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I can't wait to get this out, and we'll have to follow up and do another one.
Yeah, I'm super stoked about this.
Thanks, sister. I'm going to say anytime. Goodbye.
Sounds good.